Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Bamidbar here in Eretz Yisrael, and we start a new sefer, a wonderful new sefer, the fourth out of five Bamidbar, and a lot of the sefer is called, besides Bamidbar, is called the sefer Hapikudim, countings. There's many countings in the beginning of the parsha and throughout the entire sefer Hapikudim, and the Torah begins with a counting of Bnei Yisrael. And it tells us as well who the heads of each tribes are in order to have these countings done for the tribe of Reuven, Shimon, etc. There's a very, very fascinating diuk, which I saw actually many years ago, in the names of one of the Shvatim, which is said twice in the Parsha, but his name is changed from the first time to the second time. Anybody know which Nasi you're talking about? I'll tell you. It's the Nasi of Shevet Gad. In the beginning of the parasha, he's called, listen carefully, I'm reading inside, Legad, the tribe of God, Eliasaph ben Deuel. Eliasaph ben Deuel. Good, Eliasaph ben Deuel, so far so good. If you look ahead later in the parasha, the same, when we discussed the Degal and the different flags that the Jews encamped in the desert with, the same Nasi, the same leader of the tribe is mentioned, but his name is not Deuel there, but rather his name is Umatei Gad, Vinasid of Negad, Eliasaph ben Reuel. Now the Dalet and the Resh are very, very similar, aren't they? The Dalet has a little shmuchik at the end of it, but it's not a mistake. In fact, if it says Deuel the second time in the Torah is puzzle. If it says Reuel, if it says a Resh the first time, it's puzzle. What happened to this person? This Nasi of God. Was he a Deuel? Son of Deuel or Reuel? And who cares? What's the difference? So in the beautiful sefer that I like to use often to share the Torah with you from the sefer Aleinu L'Shabeach, he quotes here a sefer called Imrei Noam, who suggests a beautiful, beautiful pshat, an amazing pshat to answer this question. He says like this. He says, if you think about it, he says, Dun became the head of one of the groups of the flags. Matei Dun. Dun was in charge of one of the groups. Gad, who was older, should have been, his tribe should have been the head of the troops. He should have been the Nasi who was in charge. There were four different groups, each one having three Shvatim around the Machaneh Levi, and the Levi's tribe in the middle. And after all, Gad, who was older, should have been the head of one of the camps, but he wasn't. He wasn't. He wasn't chosen. And he could have had a very small claim. How come my tribe wasn't chosen? Why was Dun chosen to be the head of the camp and not me? I want to be the head. This should be Degel Machaneh Gad, not Degel Machaneh Dun. He could have had that claim, but you know what? He didn't have that claim. You know what he said? Fine. That's what you want? So be it. He went from being the son of Eliasaph ben Deuel to the son of Reuel. I think it goes like this. This is my addition. I think it fits very nicely. What does the word Deuel mean? Deuel means he knows God. Like Yodea Kel Deuel. What's Reuel? The friend of God. The friend of God. The Rea of Kel. What happens? When a person realizes that Hashem is in charge, when a person realizes, you know what? Whatever Hashem wants is what it's supposed to be. He becomes, in turn, the Rea of Kel, the friend of Hashem. More beloved, more intimate with Hashem. When a person is Mevater means he lets things go. He's not so machpid. He's not so particular. Not so tough on things. It has to be my way or the highway. No, it's not my way or the highway. What is it? Fine, you can have it your way. It's okay. That doesn't matter. I'll step down off my high horse. And I'll allow the next person have his opportunity. You become a Rea of Kel. You become a friend, a beloved of Hashem. In this sefer, he quotes an amazing story about a fellow around your age, a little older than you, that came time for him to get married. And for this boy, everything was going perfectly for him. He got a shidduch right away. He was learning amazing in yeshiva. Everything was just going so smoothly for him. People were like, wow, like, you know, it's unusual to have, like, you know, bli ayin hara. Everything's so well. like no issues with this or that. Everything was so smooth and amazing for him. And they were wondering, like, what was the secret to his success? Like, where did it come from? And the Rav of the community said, I'll tell you, when it came time for him to get married, he said, I want to tell over a little bit of secret about this boy. You should understand, it's not for naught that he's had such siyata d'shmaya and such amazing experience in his life. I remember 8-9 years ago when his bar mitzvah came around. And in our community, I think it happened in Bnei Brak, in our community, there were two boys that had a bar mitzvah the same Shabbos. Him, and then a classmate of his. All the other shuls in town were booked already. What do we do? They both daven in my shul, said this Rav. And both wanted to have the bar mitzvah in the shul at Shabbos. Both wanted to have the maftir aliyah. What are we going to do? So we drew lots. And guess what? This boy won the lot. And his friend in his class lost the lot. And what it would have meant was that his friend would have to go ahead and have a bar mitzvah very far away. Most of his friends wouldn't have been at the bar mitzvah. But he won. So he should have it. It's his. He said he went home that night and he couldn't sleep. Why couldn't he sleep? How am I going to have a mitzvah in shul and my friend is going to be feeling so sad? How am I going to be able to live with myself? I feel so bad for him. It really bothered me. He couldn't sleep. He went to his father and said, Abba, I really want my friend to have the shul, the Shabbos. We'll do it somewhere else. We don't need the shul. We'll be okay without it. A 13-year-old. No. And he went to his friend the next morning, and that's how it went. It went down like that. He gave up his what he deserved, what was his. It was mine. He gave up his quote-unquote seat at the bar mitzvah in order to give his son, his friend, the opportunity to have it. He said, since then, I've been watching this boy, the Rav, and watching him. And all thing after thing after thing is going well. Because when a person is mevater, when a person gives in, you know what happens? You go from being de'ukel, from de'uel, from knowing Hashem, to re'ukel, to being the re'ah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Last night in my home, so there was a little bit of a misunderstanding, let's say, which took place between two members of my household. I happened to have been sitting at a table, minding my own business, kind of, just doing my own thing, and I overheard in the background, right behind me, this little, what do I call it, altercation, what do I call it, a little bit of a...
Punches thrown?
No punches thrown, Baruch Hashem. But there was some strong, you know, strong feelings had on both sides. And one person was really clearly in the right. I won't say what happened. And I won't say what was in the right. But one person, in my humble opinion, was clearly in the right. And I turned to the person. I won't say if it's a he or a she. It doesn't make a difference. And I said to them, you have a tremendous opportunity. I had just seen this piece. And it was my dad. I said, tremendous opportunity. You have an opportunity. You're right. You have an opportunity. Instead of reacting harshly, like maybe you feel like you deserve to react. Maybe giving it to them and saying, you know, why did you do that? How did you do that? You just shouldn't have done that to me. That was so wrong. What right do you have to do that? Instead of saying you have an opportunity and a test and a challenge and a tremendous opportunity to just let it go. To let it go. You could say that it was wrong, but you don't have to get upset or angry. And it will be a big schus for you. Whatever happened, in the end, things calmed down very quickly like that. It was good. I want to close this schmooze with a magnet that I have on my fridge. And hopefully most of you this coming Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem, will be able to see it on my fridge in my kitchen. You may have seen it already, but you'll definitely notice it now when you come to wash on Shabbos for the suitors on Shabbos, B'ez Hashem. My daughter, last year from seminary, brought home a beautiful magnet with a picture of Steiner Zatzal. And it has the following words on it. Steinman said, Na'ar Hayisi, Gam Zakanti. So far we know that, so that's not his words. Lo Ra'iti, I didn't see. Mivater Mafsid. He changed the word of Tzadik Ne'ezov to Mivater Mafsid, which means, I was a young person, now he was older, Steinman was over 100 years old, he passed away. Lo Ra'iti, I never saw in my life Mivater, a person that gave in. That was Mevater, that said, you know what? I'll let you have your way. Mafsid. You never lose out when you give in. Sometimes we feel like we're losing out. Sometimes we feel like, oh my gosh, like I'm giving in. I don't want to. What? If I give in, I'm going to be a wimp. I'm going to be a loser. I'm going to be a nobody. And so we want to stick to our laurels and I'm principled. And I'm principled. I'm going to show you our principle. I'm principled. That expression. Once a person's fighting with principles, forget it. Just back off. He's not gonna. He's not coming down off his high horse. It's the principle of the matter. You know what? Sometimes principles are very important, but you know what? When it comes to interactions with our friends, much more important is living in harmony, living benachas, being mevater. In our parasha, we saw a transition. Di'u'el, which is very chashuv, to ri'u'el. When you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and you realize what's supposed to happen to you is supposed to happen to you, you know what? Let it go. In my family, we have an expression I've told you many times. The expression, it's not a very cute one. It's just two letters. IG. IG stands for ignore. Someone says a comment to you, ignore. Now, truth be told, it's easier for older members of our family to ignore. It's harder for younger people. Some little kids are very, very sensitive. You say a comment to them, they get all like, oh my gosh. But as we get a little older, so you ignore it. You let it go. Be out there. Don't worry about it. Your life will be so much more geschmack. Your family life will be so much more wonderful. Your whole existence. And it's a tremendous chus also to live life that way. We should be zocha, Rabosai, to be duels and ruels. We should be zocha to realize and recognize that everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we should be zocha to be true, beloved friends, Kav Yochum, of Hashem.